there is music, yes, but there is equally dancing, and the music and the dance are informing and like, you know, creating that circuit of energy that we all love. And then there is incredible food, you know, like if you say go to Louisiana and you experience some Creole or Cajun culture where there's gumbo and there's automatically dancing and there's automatically live music, and no thing is more important than the other, right? They all are codependent. I think that's what we need. And when we have venues like that, then we're going to have that ecosystem of venues that you're talking about to make it workable. But we have to figure out how to get back to that. And so it ain't a short-term proposition.
No, I agree. For folks out there who do have, you know, if somebody in your community has house concerts, if there is a local venue that has made it through the pandemic or is maybe hoping to open back up, it's really important to support those venues, even if you don't like every act that comes through. Like you're saying, Joe, it's in your long-term interest. It's in our long-term interest out here in rural areas to, you know, be putting extra support into these things. Well, Joe, I have appreciated talking to you so much today, and I really hope that we get to pick together again before, another like 5, 6 years has passed.
Likewise, Michael. I'd love that.
Okay, well, your website, Joe, is joebanjo.net. That's JoeBa.
Andy whoa, whoa, looks a scream. Hand him on my whoa, 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 whoa. Andy whoa, whoa, silver scream. Can't tell them apart at all.
You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. Before we move on to my interview about Blackfish, I want to remind you this is a great time to become a member of KBOO. Show your support for Art Focus by becoming a KBOO member today. Help us meet our $70,000 end of year membership goal. We're community funded. That means corporations have no interest in giving us anything. Just go to KBOO.fm give or text KBOO to this number 44321. This is KBOO's annual end of year membership drive. Help us reach our goal of $70,000 before December 31st. This is the time of year where you can give conspicuously to charity, and think of KBOO as a charity. Go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to this number 44321. Thank you very much. My name is Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Alice Christine Walker. She's an artist owner at Blackfish Gallery, which has just moved to 938 Northwest Everett in The Pearl. There's a new show on called What's Past is Prologue, which runs November 29th to December 30th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus again, Alice.
Pleasure to be back. I didn't expect to be back so soon, but it's our honor.
Yeah, I talked to you when you did the land art show. It was on your land in North Portland. And, that was a sort of outdoor show. All this time, Blackfish has sort of been looking for a new space. You know, your landlord said it was time to move on. And then you landed this great place, the Otis Building, which is at 9th and Everett,
yeah.
Right?
The historic Otis Building, Otis Elevator Building. So mm-hmm.
It's kitty corner from Ben & Jerry's, if you can picture that, in The Pearl. It's a great brick building. I never really noticed it before. It used to be shoes.
Yeah, Halo Shoes was here before, and it's only about a block and a half away from where our previous location was, and so we are absolutely thrilled to be in the neighborhood still.
Mm-hmm. So you're opening, so it's November 29th to December the 30th. It's the first show. It's three artists who've been with Blackfish forever. But tell us a bit about the space. This place is different.
This place is absolutely different. It's been a journey for us to relocate after 36 years. The previous location, I believe, was a mechanic shop at one point, and the Wong family, it was actually their residence as well, and they lived in there and ran their business with the artist studio area that was next door. So
that's right, they grew mung beans.
Mung beans, yes. I mean, it's Portland history. And I mean, I think we're so honored that 36 years we had a wonderful working relationship with the Wongs, and we are so incredibly grateful to them. And you know, it's nerve-wracking to move and to find a new space and find a new home, but we think we've landed in the best possible place for us. Mm-hmm. One of the things that makes us unique is that we are exhibition-based versus more retail-based.
Tell the listeners what that means.
Other artist-owned galleries around town, you might walk in there and you might see 5, 10, 20 different artists work all at the same time. You're maybe getting a little slice of work from each of those artists. We are set up really traditionally where an artist is actually able to work on a body of work and an exhibition. It's like a hybrid between a traditional commercial gallery and what is artist owned and run, in that we own and we run a business. We consider ourselves gallery owners, which mm-hmm. we are. And part of that is, I find it really exciting that we get to be at the gallery one day a month, and we get to talk with visitors about the exhibition that's up. We get to interact directly with the public. A lot of times artists might show their work, but then not actually be there when people are coming in and experiencing mm-hmm. it. And it's, I would say, a really beautiful part about not only exhibiting your art, but being a part of the operations of running it. And yeah, we do have monthly meetings where we all get together and we make decisions and policy for the gallery. And I think it's those roots that have kept us in business since 1979. You know, we are able to continue to change and make decisions for the gallery and how it's run so that we can stay modern and adaptable. My next exhibition slot, I'm actually using that for a group of analog photographers that I mentor in town, and they will be able to come and use our second gallery and show their work professionally in a gallery setting. So there's still so much community focus that we do in helping, you know, rising tide raises all ships. So yeah, that's, you know, I might not be making art for my own exhibition, but it's still providing us opportunities to support the community that is incredibly important to us and the reason that we're here.
And I mean, some of the people have been here 40 years, yeah. right? They're yeah. in the 70s and 80s. Mm-hmm. Now you got this great new space. Mm-hmm. Does it change things for you? Because like you just said, a lot of your peers are used to just working on Instagram mm-hmm. or selling on Instagram mm-hmm. or online. How does having a physical space change things for them and you?
Well, I would say, first off, I'm very honored to be one of the owners here and to be working with a lot of the other artists at the gallery. There's so much knowledge through experience and wisdom, and I think it's been an incredible experience to learn from other artists, not only as my, you know, professional peers, but also in terms of the experience that they have. I mean, this is, for me personally, been such an incredible growing opportunity. I like to say that I'm community taught, and I think being a part of this gallery is a perfect example of that. I've learned so much from the other owners here, and I think it's a really important part to being a younger artist is this experience of owning a gallery has been incredibly humbling to understand how much work goes into operating a business, even, you know, a gallery business. And I think when you are an artist that's just kind of presenting your work out into the world, you take for granted all the other work that goes into providing the spaces, the funding, the opportunities. And so for me, I would highly recommend for any young artist to take an opportunity like becoming part of a gallery. art is an ecosystem. And so you're not only understanding why you're making your own art, but understanding the community that is supporting the artists and being really entrenched in that so that you're making connections with other galleries and taking other opportunities to show your work. There's, it's been an honor.
Mm-hmm. And I would also think you're kind of lucky in that you have all this face time with other people, right? These meetings, sitting, talking, meeting the public, because so many jobs that have gone to remote mm-hmm. are kind of lonely. You just you and your screen, and then the day ends, and then yeah. you go to your other screen, or yeah. you know, it can be very cut off from the public or the consumer of whatever you're doing.
Yeah, I think especially it's an opportunity to, like I said, really be a part of the community and other people who are as committed to their art practices as you are.
I'm here with Barbara Black. Barbara, you were one of the first artists at Blackfish.
Yes.
And tell us how the whole co-op came about.
Well, another graduate student and I at PSU in 1978 were in working after hours with the artist instructor, James Hibbard, in a classroom. And he said to us, you know, I'm so puzzled and discouraged because co-op galleries last about 5 years and then some of the people who work the hardest burn out and they're gone. And so there aren't places to show more abstract and au courant work. And he said, there must be some way around that. And so we started talking and we started, we met once a week at his home to design a gallery that could operate with its ownership without having to end how tasks could be equally oriented. So the owner operators, we would do all the work, which we do with committees and things. And so then we met for almost a year and we opened in the, and we kept adding artists who kept coming to the meetings and all these discussions went on for a year
mm-hmm.
Or more.
The idea was an artist could join, but they had to do a lot of the work, right?
Yes.
Organization.
Yes. And the first ones we invited that we knew were good artists with strong portfolios and might be interested. And so then that original group met, and then the name came about because we had to incorporate so we could lease a space. And so then they were just making fun names up like attorneys and doctors' names and like they did Missile Moore, but they thought Barbara Black and Julia Fish was more amusing. So, but it was only supposed to be the corporate name.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, when it came time 6 months later to name the gallery, that kept getting the most names. And we opened in February of 1979.
Hmm. And there were only three other galleries around right then? Serious galleries?
Well, of real serious quality, yes. And so, therefore, we had artists, strong artists, especially who wanted experimental art or not, commuting from Eugene and Tri-Cities and all over, because there just weren't as many galleries. Fortunately, there are many more now.
Mm-hmm.
And so artists have more choices now, but some of us really believe in the ideals about if you think up a show and you can get the whole group going for a theme, something that's important to you in society, you can share that and have that show.
Traditionally, Blackfish has had shows that were not
saleable.
Particularly commercial.
Right.
The concept is more important than
right.
sales.
Yes, we don't urge our members are ourselves to make saleable work. We urge ourselves to make exciting or important or soulful work. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And if it sells, wonderful. If it doesn't, you're not reproached because we just support each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we have what are called dues, but they're actually owner-operator expenses that we and they go up and down.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the new space?
Oh. It's just gorgeous. It's the most beautiful space we've had. The first one was a ratty hotel on 6th Avenue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we sat two by two because there, it was a little bit of a scary neighborhood at the time. And I was so sad that we couldn't be on 2nd Avenue because we couldn't afford it. But then then we moved up to 9th, and pretty soon all the other galleries were around us. They'd moved away from Southwest 2nd over into the Pearl. Well, it wasn't the Pearl originally, but it's the Pearl now.
Great. Thanks very much, Baba.
You're very welcome.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and I've been doing Art Focus for exactly 10 years this December. I started filling in just because Ava Lake asked me. She bumped into me at First Thursday. Little did I know, 10 years later, I'd still be doing this as a volunteer. I do it because I like it. I like art, I like artists, and I know Portlanders like to know what artists are thinking, and there's less and less coverage. Please go to our website, kboo.fm, or try this. Just text the letters KBOO to this number, 44321. Got it? KBOO, text it to 44321. Thank you. I'm here with Christopher Shatola Hart. He's an owner member at Blackfish. And Christopher is going to talk about the current show, which is up this month, called What's Past is Prologue. It features works from three of the long-term Blackfish artists, Angela Passalacqua, Barbara Black, and Barbara Conneen. Chris, we're looking at a Barbara Black painting. It's called Sunrise or Sunset. It's a dark kind of rocky scene. It looks like a cave with water in front, and there's an opening in the cave, and there's a sort of sunset, hikers, helicopter, and a stream that's flowing out of the lit up yellow area back into the cave. It's a bit confusing. It's acrylic and mixed media.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about Barbara.
Barbara is Barbara the Black of Blackfish. So she's one of our founding members. It's as though the viewer is standing inside a cave and we're looking out through a little opening in the cave, and into the cave is flowing from this distant lake some stream, some water coming in, but maybe then the opening also provides some backlighting so that the rocks which are coming toward the viewer, they're edge lit. It creates a sense of depth moving toward that opening, and there are some little figures that are on the ridge of the opening, and it's unclear when we are. You know, is it primordial human beings? Are they indigenous human beings? They're just shown in silhouette, and there's some tree silhouettes there. And just to the right of them, on the inside of the cave, there appear to be some cave drawings.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so pinkish cave paintings.
Cave paintings.
On the black walls, yeah.
And which makes the title very interesting, Sunrise or Sunset.
Uh-huh.
You know, are we talking about time of day, or are we talking about millennia? You know, the perhaps indigenous or, you know, ancient people that we see at the opening of the cave are in big contrast with this helicopter that's flying past in the space. And the colors are a wonderful balance of cool and warm. The water coming into the cave is in this analogous greens and blues, and then the warmth of what might be the twilight, the sunset or sunrise.
Mm-hmm. And the water from the lake is yellow and orange, but it turns pretty quickly into blue and green as it enters the cave.
Yeah, and in that person who stutters, there's some of the warm and cool mixed together as the water is affected by the light behind, mm-hmm. and then it comes in and gradually gets into these deeper cools the further into the cave that we are.
Mm-hmm. So if an artist has been with Blackfish for 40 years, do you think they're affected by how their work sells? You know, do they move in that direction? Or are they just totally free to, you know, make art for art's sake?
The reason for being at Blackfish is to have the freedom to create art for art's sake. There isn't a gallery director here who's doing a pre-show studio visit and saying, I don't want you working in that direction. I really have great success selling the works that you, similar to what you did in your last show. Mm-hmm.
Is that the kind of thing they say?
That is. We've had members, several members who were at Blackfish go on to more commercial galleries and then return because that was something that actually happened with a gallery owner coming. The artist was excited about evolving into this new direction and the gallery owner said, I don't know about that, I'd prefer you didn't, and you stay kind of, you know, what's selling. And the artist saying, I think that we're finished here. And then coming back and telling us the story.
The second of the artists that we're going to look at is Angela Passalacqua. She paints in oil. She often incorporates classical imagery, sort of Greek statues, and also the sort of Greek pattern you see around a coffee cup in New York. And then Nautilus shells and hieroglyphics. Tell us a little about Angela.
You really got to the core of what she's about. Lots of references to classical Western art. You know, you pointed out the Egyptian, the key pattern there. She is also very versed and interested in mythology, Greek and Roman mythology. She is from an Italian family, so she has some connections with certain geographic areas that have rich cultural and literary histories. Mm-hmm. She also is quite enamored with poetry, and many of her works might be based on certain poets that she's reading during a certain period of time. So she's reading mythology and poetry, and that poetic approach to her work is very evident. She doesn't have a single landscape and picture plane. Rather, there are these, she presents compositions that are rather flat and floating, sort of all over compositions. There'll be different levels of rendering. Some of her figures might be more rendered in terms of volume, or she'll have some that appear as silhouettes, or some maybe just in outline, and perhaps that outline might be filled with other kinds of iconic mm-hmm. imagery, like in this painting, four shades
of
the center figure there. So it appears as though she has repeated the shape, the outline, the silhouette of the same classical figure four times, but in each instance she has rendered that differently.
Mm-hmm. So she's someone who's got the liberty of reading poetry and painting whatever she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And does that kind of sound like a typical Blackfish artist?
I don't know if you can say a typical Blackfish artist. I think each one of us goes in a very different direction, and
mm-hmm.
as we look at potential colleagues who apply to be in this gallery, we try to make sure that we're always filling out our scope,
mm-hmm.
more and more diversity.
When people apply, are there any, what are the kind of red flags that you're just not interested in, and what's great, like, oh yeah, we'd love to have you?
Well, like every gallery, people submit a portfolio application. The difference between this and a commercial gallery will be that there might be a gallery owner who makes decisions about which galleries are represented. And here, you have 31 people that all have an equal vote.
The third artist in the show is Barbara Conine. She's a sculptor. We're looking at one of her pieces called Seekers of the Holy Mirage, and holy is spelled H-O-L-E hyphen Y, and it's a sort of a canoe made of driftwood with these two characters in, and their bodies are a bark, and they've been painted gold. They have feathers on their heads. They're in a sea of jigsaw puzzle, the sort of floor puzzle you have when you're little, and then it's all on a wooden pedestal with sort of radiating spokes. I think that's just so it doesn't fall over. But generally, it's a boat going along with a kind of a sail, and there's a lot of glitter involved and a shiny sea. So Barbara Conine, she's an original too, right?
She actually has never been a blackfisher. Her husband was a blackfisher for a long time, but she is well part of the blackfish family.
Mm-hmm.
She has deep friendships with many of the blackfishers.
Mm-hmm.
This is quite a tongue-in-cheek piece, don't you think? You talk about the bass bearing function, bearing weight, helping distribute the weight for this, as almost like a nautical shape
like
to it,
wheel, yeah.
Like a ship's wheel, right? So that I think that certainly ties in then to the fact that here's this canoe that appear to be these people in regalia, perhaps of some indigenous culture who are traversing across this puzzle sea, which is funny.
It's a map of the U.S.
It is a child's map.
Yeah.
And the leader in the front is leading the way, looking through this sort of arched form that's in front of the bow of the ship. The bow of the ship almost has a bird-like sculpture with even a feather there, and looks like they're chasing the Statue of Liberty.
Oh yeah, that's dangling down in front of them like a carrot.
Yeah, like a carrot. I feel like this has a lot of socio-political messages. I think it's quite funny, the tie-in of this. It's a very satirical piece, and good level of absurdity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at our old location on 9th Avenue, we have that quotation that a lot of people do Instagram pictures and post, and it's an Angela Davis quotation, and it says, "I am no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I am changing the things I cannot accept." I feel like that gets at the heart of the spirit of Blackfish. We are always trying to become more and more diverse. We want our artists to reflect the greater community of Portland. We want to be diverse in many ways. And I think we also want to be an organization that is a model for how we wish the world could be. We want to be a platform for people to speak out about what's going on in the world or what we find most meaningful, what we are passionate about. And so we have the freedom to design programming that can address the world, even if shows maybe aren't commercially viable. Alice, whom you talked with a little earlier, she did a show about grieving. She had lost her father and went through the whole process. She transformed the gallery as an installation that had many interactive parts to it. And I don't know what other gallery she could have done that in. When the Black Lives Matter movement was happening after the George Floyd incident, we had a guest curator, Christine Miller, that put together a curated show called Black Power as a Color. That was a very impactful show. Got a nod from the New York Times. Those are just a few examples of when I feel Blackfish is able to do, that the freedom artists have to put together programming that means something.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guests this week were Alice Christine Walker, Barbara Black, and Christopher Shatola Hart. They were talking about the new space that Blackfish has moved into at 938 Northwest Everett and the new show called What's Past is Prologue, which runs November 29th to December 30th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Christopher.
Thank you.
Andy Warhol looks a scream. Hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
Esto es KBOO Portland en el 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath en el 104.3 FM, K220HR Hood River en el 91.9 FM y transmitiendo en la página de kbu.fm.